This morning is the second week in a message series that we've simply titled Dangerous Prayers. Dangerous Prayers, based on a book, actually, that I read a few months ago, a book that was so transformational for me as a pastor wrote this book, basically pointing out some things in the Bible. And it was so transformational for me that I actually read it. I finished it and I immediately read it again. Something that challenged me, something that moved me. And I believe that I am different because of some of the Bible piece and what God spoke to me even through somebody else. And if you're a book reading type of person, I would highly recommend that you read this book. In fact, we have some of these on a table out in the entryway. That they're not there? They're all gone. Okay. No, there is some. Don't listen to them. All right. There is some. All right, we have bought a bunch of books. In fact, someone else was like, I want to buy the book, and I sent them the Amazon link, and they're like, it says it's out of stock for another month. Did you buy them all? And we were like, we did. We bought all of them. And so we have some of those. They're just for $10, which is basically the cost that we paid for them. And so if that's something you want. But we've also kicked off our Dangerous Prayers life groups this week. How many of you, like, raise your hand if you were in a life group this week? Wow, look at that. It's so incredible. If you don't know what that is, it's just gathering together with a smaller group of people to eat, to talk, to pray together. And I gathered with my life group on Thursday evening, and it was just so good. Like, I just love sitting down and being able to kind of talk things out with other people and pray together and all of that, okay? And listen, if you still haven't signed up for a life group, I know you missed week number one, you can still get in on that. We still have some availability, and you can find those on our website listed all over the place with all sorts of information, okay? But last Sunday, if you were here, we kicked off this entire series called Dangerous Prayers, and we looked at a specific prayer in the Bible by a man named King David, where David prayed, "Search my heart, God. Search my heart," basically giving God permission to point out the junk in our lives, to point out the things in us that are not okay. And it's a dangerous prayer because of what this means. As God begins to show us the junk inside of us, we now are forced to deal with it. And many of us simply do not want to deal with the junk inside of us, the sin that's inside of us, the things in our past that is inside of us and that we carry around. But as we ask God to open this stuff up, like, it's unlimited what God can do as he moves in us and we move in his direction, okay? That was last week. Next Sunday, the message and the prayer we're going to look at has the potential to literally change your life in a massive way. Transformational message is what I'm calling it, as we're going to ask God to send us. This is something we see in the Bible. We're going to pray, God, send me. God, anywhere, anytime, I'm available to you. Send me, God. And that brings us to today. And before we get to this prayer for today, can I just warn you? I'm going to start off with, like, a warning. If there is one prayer in this series, in all the small groups that we're talking through, and even in the Bible, if there's a prayer that is, like, one of the most dangerous of all, it's the prayer that we're going to look at today. It is crazy difficult, and let me just tell you that some of us at the end of this message today, you are literally going to be staring at me and thinking in your brain, dude, you are nuts. Some of you are going to think that this is so far out there. I guarantee that many of us in this place will refuse to pray this prayer today. You will refuse to pray it. This is not a common prayer, and it's not a prayer that makes you feel good, that's for sure. But understand this, over the past few months, we've been talking about, like, how easy it is in our part of the world to live these apathetic Christian lives, right? We've been talking about this. So understand, the prayer we're going to pray today and look at today is a very different prayer than God will always make my life better and that version of Christianity. Okay, but this prayer also has the potential to open things up and to move. You know, it's a fantastic thing. Okay, the prayer we're going to be looking at today is the prayer. It's just simply this: break me, God. Break me. Break me. Yes, I saw some facial expressions even as I said that. All right, that's enough of an introduction. Please stand with me all over this place. And let's start by praying together and just kind of inviting God into this moment. So here we go. God, we look to you. We open ourselves up to you and ask that you would speak to us through your very word today. Lord, we give you this time. Our hearts genuinely want yours, and we want what you have for us. And so, God, we just pray for that. We invite you into this very moment right here and right now, and it's in your name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. All right, go ahead and have a seat and say, I'm so glad it's warm in here. Yes, it is. All right, here we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
Do with a little bit of one of this because I don't know if you're ready or not. So let's just try it out, okay? Let's start with this. One of the most common prayers that we pray in America, in our version of American Christianity, is we pray versions of this. God, keep me and the people that I love safe. Would you agree? Okay? Like, we may not say it in that exact way, but like, God, protect us. God, keep us safe. God, keep us healthy. Keep bad things from happening to me. Keep bad things from happening to the people that I love. And right out of the gate, I want to say this. I don't think that there's anything necessarily wrong with praying this prayer, praying for other people and praying for the people that we love. Like, this is needed. It's even biblical. But listen to this right here. I wonder, though, in praying, God, keep me and my family free from difficulty, like if we are not, we might as well be praying, God, don't let me grow. God, don't let me get stronger. God, don't allow me to trust you anymore. Because understand this, even though trials and difficulties like are not, and they're never fun, and they're never easy to endure, God often uses them for his purpose. And this is a massive biblical principle that we see that comes out over and over and over. And I'm telling you, if you only pray for protection from trials, then you rob yourself from future maturity. Understand, though life is probably more enjoyable when it is free from bad things, it's the challenges in life that help us mature and draw us closer to God. Romans chapter 5, crazy verse. The Apostle Paul says, we rejoice when we suffer. Why? Because suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. James chapter 1, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when trials come. What is going on? You want me to rejoice in my suffering and consider it stinking joy when difficult junk comes to my life? Why? Because they produce perseverance. We have a biblical principle here. Your faith does not grow in your seasons of easy life. Your faith grows in seasons of trials and difficulty, and the most difficult things you could ever imagine bring growth to your spiritual life. All right, one person wrote this, God, thank you for the storms. The rain was needed for my faith to grow. Okay, you can picture that like that. And this is why, if you truly desire a deeper relationship with God, you might at times need to pray, God, break me. God, break me. And I want to talk this out a bit by showing you two different stories from the Bible. What's really cool is that the stories are actually back-to-back in the Bible, both in the book of Mark. It's one story immediately followed by the other, okay? Now, the first story, before we read any of it today, it's a very interesting event in the life of Jesus, mostly because it involves a prostitute. And I think we read things about prostitutes and stuff in the Bible without really thinking through what this would have meant and what this would have looked like for a prostitute to approach a man like Jesus. Even in our culture, but in that culture, okay, even more, okay? Obviously, Prostitutes were looked down on. Prostitutes hated. You didn't just graduate high school and then one day decide, I think I'm going to sell my body for the rest of my life. Like, this is just, if you were a prostitute in the first century, it was only because you had absolutely no other option. And we don't know this woman's story. We don't know what her past looked like. Maybe she was a single mom and she's just doing whatever she can to survive and provide. And all, like, maybe she was abused or something and that led her down the path. We don't know any of this. This is a woman, though, that was a mess. This was a woman who was full of shame. But this is a woman who at some point in this story of Jesus, like, she met a man that treated her differently, okay? And who knows, maybe even for the very first time in her life, she encounters a man that treats her with honor, that treated her with respect, that treated her with dignity, a man who even loved her appropriately. And whatever the situation, whatever, like, this woman was so transformed by her interaction with Jesus that she wanted to worship Jesus in the most sacrificial way that you could ever imagine. In fact, her extravagant act of worship kind of caused everyone else around her, like, to be completely confused. Let me show you this. All right, we're going to read this story from the book of Mark, but it comes up in other places in the Bible as well, okay? Mark, and this is verse number 3. Are we in Mark 13? 14. Mark 14, verse 3. Here's what it says. It says, while he, that's Jesus, was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. Okay, let's paint this picture. Let's set this story up a little bit. Jesus is sitting at the dining table with his disciples. They are at the home of this man named Simon. Simon the leper refers to leprosy. The idea here is that this man had this incurable terminal disease called leprosy, horribly contagious. His life would have been a horrendous thing before Jesus. Jesus, clearly we have him, Jesus healing this man, but he still kind of carries this nickname, all right? And so this man invites them over. Jesus, they're sitting around this table, all men really sitting there in this way, and this meal is interrupted by this woman. A woman who is carrying with her a very expensive jar of perfume, the story says. Picture this with me, okay? Men sitting around a table, and seriously, a prostitute somehow is in the picture here, walks up to Jesus carrying this crazy expensive jar filled with perfume. And this just isn't any perfume. Like, she didn't just walk into Macy's and pick this up. This perfume is crazy expensive. Crazy expensive. How expensive? In a moment, the story is actually going to tell us that this jar of perfume alone was worth a year's wages. Jar, think about that for a moment. We're talking thousands of dollars. And this woman, this prostitute, is carrying this thousands of dollars worth of perfume in this jar, walking up to Jesus in front of all of these men, okay? Now, understand, during the time of Jesus, ordinary women did not wear perfume. Why? Because it was too expensive. The people that wore perfume were crazy rich people and prostitutes. Why did prostitutes have perfume? Perfume, when you read about this historically, was like their calling card in a way. Okay, let me kind of explain, and we won't spend much time on this. When they're out on the street, a guy would walk by them and smell their perfume, and in a way, he'd smell the smell and think, oh, I see, you're sending me a message that you're available. Are you with me? The smell was a part of the gig for this woman, all right? When you read this story, immediately we think crazy expensive and essentially the way in which she would draw business. Here's what happens next. This woman carries us in. All right, end of verse number 3. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Thousands of dollars of perfume. Okay, she broke the jar and she poured it out on top of Jesus' head. Are you picturing this? Don't miss this. This is nuts. Would you agree? All right. Two words I want to bring to your attention because we're going to see these same two words in something Jesus says in our next story. The words broke, the word poured. Broken and poured out. Broken and poured out. Verse number 4, some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. This is the disciples. This is the men who are standing there. They're watching this happen. Okay, and they're all together kind of saying, wait, stop. What are you doing? What are you? Don't do that. It's so valuable. Are you with me? All right. And some of us, when we read a story like this, we hear the way that these people respond and we think like, wow, those guys just don't get it. They're so greedy. What this woman did was beautiful. Okay. We talk like that. But in reality, think about this for a moment. If you were in a room and someone walked in with $30,000 worth of cash and decided to make a fire as a way of worshiping someone, and they put the money in the fire, don't tell me that you wouldn't respond like, what in the what are you doing? Are you with me? Okay? Like, think about this for a moment. Stop! We could have used that money for good. We could have given it to people who need it. We could have sold it and given it to missionaries. Realistically, think about that with me. This act of worship was ridiculous. It was extravagant, and it blew the minds of the people that were there. But essentially, this woman is saying, I'm giving you, Jesus, my whole life. And I'm showing that through giving the most valuable possession that I have, I'm showing this to you. In other words, I'm leaving my past life behind. I'm giving away my future source of income and my life savings, broken and poured out, okay? That's the first story. The second story, right after this in the same book of the Bible, and it's a story that's known as the Last Supper, all right? And in this story, many of you, if you grew up going to church at all, you'll recognize this story. In this story, Jesus gathers together with his closest friends. This is just a few days before he's going to be crucified. Jesus knows what's coming. He knows that he's going to give his life on the cross. And this is how Mark tells that story. Okay, same chapter. This is now verse number 22. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take it. This is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Okay, it's broken. It's poured out, broken and poured out. Same words. My body is broken for you. My blood is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Okay, my jar is broken in this act of worship, and it's poured out because I'm giving everything that I am and everything that I have. It's broken and poured out. All right, Luke tells this same story in Luke chapter 22, and he uses and adds a little bit to the story that Mark kind of left out. These guys are, when they're writing their own account of Jesus' life, and some of them added details that others didn't, and some left things out. They're just telling their story of what they saw and felt and heard. Okay, so here's what Luke wrote. Verse 19, Luke 22, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. And here's the line that's different. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Mark tells the story, okay, but Luke adds these words. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. He says, do this. Well, the question is, what is this? And understand, this question is not really debated. 100% of Bible scholars and Bible teachers all agree on what Jesus is saying here at the surface, okay? That doing this means we gather together, we take the bread and we take the wine or the juice, and we do this in remembrance, like we celebrate together by doing this ritual of taking communion. That's what this is right here. 100% of Christians really agree on that. We argue a little bit about how that should look and all that, but that's what this is. We understand. But listen, some scholars actually believe that this means more than just that. Let me look at this, okay? Jesus says, do this. It certainly means gather and remember. But perhaps, as you look at the wording here, it also could mean, as Jesus was broken, and as Jesus is poured out, our lives should also be broken and poured out. We do the ritual to remember, but we also live as he lived, because clearly God calls us to live our lives the way that Jesus did and love the way that Jesus did. In fact, at one point the Bible says we are to die to ourselves daily. Die every day so that we can live for his glory. The Apostle Paul at one point wrote this. He just wrote, I am already being poured out. I'm being poured out like a drink offering. The time for my departure is near. I've fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. I'm being poured out. What does that mean to be poured out? It's this idea, again, of I'm giving everything I am and everything I have for God's glory. No matter if it means giving up the most valuable thing in my life, I give it up for God. No matter if it means, no matter if it costs me everything, I'm broken and I'm poured out to God for his glory. My life is about Jesus. He's the center of everything. I live for his glory. Now, listen to this. In its most basic form, understand the gospel of Jesus Christ is an invitation to come and die. To die to yourself so that Jesus can live through you. Rather than pursuing our will, we surrender to his. Instead of trying to fill our lives with all that we want, we empty our lives to make a difference in the lives of other people for the glory of God. We choose to live our lives broken and poured out and understand that this breaking comes as we trust God in the middle of the most difficult things that we face in our lives. It's the challenges, remember, in life that help us mature and draw closer and become more and more like Jesus. Now, listen. Okay, we're getting somewhere. Some of you are like, I don't know, okay? We're building here. This is not only true with our relationship with God, by the way. This is true in our relationships with other people as well. See, write this down. We impress people with our strengths, but we connect most deeply through our brokenness with each other. All right? We impress people with the things that we can do. Like we impress people with our strengths. Oh man, that's amazing. You're so cool. I can't believe you did that. That's incredible. We're impressed with people's strengths. But I'm telling you, we connect people with people most deeply in our common struggles. And we may fight to be strong. And we may show our best every chance that we get. And we post stuff on social media to make it look like our life looks in a certain way. Never let people see us down. But I'm telling you, when we as humans are broken together, when we're broken together, there is a deep connection that happens. And relationships are formed in a deeper way than you could ever imagine. We impress people with our strengths, but we connect through our brokenness. Now listen, as a pastor, I have the privilege of spending time with people during some of the most devastating seasons of their lives. And for some of you here today, you know, we walked through some of that together. And like people whose situations have absolutely crushed them in different ways. And there's no question in my mind, hear this, that some, and this has even been some of us here today, your situation have driven you in the wrong direction. All right? As we turn away from God as we turn to substances for relief or whatever else. Families and marriages often fall apart in some of the most difficult seasons of our lives, like and sometimes marriages even end and all that. Like, understand all of that, but listen to me. Listen, don't miss this. There are some who are so hungry for more of God in their life, so hungry to know Him more, to experience Him, to live for Him with everything that they are. And when I talk to these people in the middle of their crushing situations, I hear things like this. Yeah, it's pretty much the worst thing ever, but I've never been closer to God in my life. Or they say, I wouldn't wish terminal cancer on anybody, but my relationship with my wife has never been better. Or like the author writes in this Dangerous Prayers book, he wrote, I could not imagine the blessings and the intimacy with God that I would experience. Wow. See, there are some people that understand this. They understand that life's greatest breakings often lead to God's greatest blessings. And it doesn't make sense, and it doesn't, like, what are you talking about? Going through horrendous things, being crushed here on earth in different ways can somehow be a blessing? Absolutely. And understand, being broken isn't just one moment. Like, it's this ongoing breaking as God breaks us of our own sinfulness and teaches us to depend on Him. Life's greatest breakings often lead to God's greatest blessings because we learn to trust Him in ways like never before. We learn to hear His voice in ways like never before because we finally shut up and stop talking about ourselves. We experience God in the middle of the storm, and it changes everything for us. See, what if we recognized that burdens can, with God's help, become blessings? What if we embrace the truth that our problems can make us stronger, that trials can strengthen our faith, that hurting can make us more compassionate for the plight of others, that suffering can draw us closer to Christ? Okay, understand, when this woman came to Jesus, like, she poured it all out in such a broken and extravagant way, symbolizing, I'm giving it all. Jesus' body was broken and poured out that our sins might be forgiven. Music team, will you please come? All right, here we are. This is nuts. Pastor Kyle, are you seriously asking us to pray for bad things to happen? That's a crazy question, isn't it? Are you seriously praying for us to pray for bad things to happen? Listen, piece this together with me. When you get to the point where you are truly hungry for more of God in your life, and that is what matters most in everything that you are, and you begin to realize that intimacy with God and spiritual growth comes through trusting God more and crucifying your flesh, your selfish desires. When you realize all that, here's the way that you begin to pray. God, I trust You so much. I know that You love me, that You are always working in me. If You want to do something more in me, then do it. If it's painful, then I welcome the pain. If You want to use trials to make me stronger, build my faith, make me closer to You, then use them. God, do whatever it takes to free me from my love for this world, to crucify my love of comfort. God, break me. Please stand with me all over this place. We started this by just simply saying, today is going to be difficult. Today is going to be hard. Some of us are going to leave this morning thinking, Pastor, you're nuts. Raise your hand if you think, no, don't do that. Some of you are gonna, you're thinking, I don't get it. Let me make sure you understand something. You don't have to pray this prayer to be a Christian. But understand, we miss something when life here on earth is all about us clinging to our comforts. We miss something. We miss something because true intimacy with God comes through the fire. I pray that you would do whatever it takes to bring me to the next level in my relationship with you. God, that is my desire. That's what I'm about. That's what I want, God. I want less of me and I want more of you. And God, right now, even in front of all of these people here today and those watching, God, I give you permission to do whatever you need to do to bring me there, to get me there, God. God, if I have to go through difficulty, then so be it, God. I don't want to live this life just for comfort. I want my entire life and everything that I am to be about you, God. Surrounded. I want you to be the center of everything that I am and everything that I have. God, if it costs me everything I own, I want to serve you and I want to know you. And I pray, God, that as a church family, we would move closer and closer to that. I pray, God, that you would pull at our hearts and that we would truly, would desire to get away from the American Christian complacency that costs us nothing. God, will we live in this freedom that is absolutely incredible in every single way, except the temptation will always be there for us to live comfortable lives. And God, I pray that you would break that in our church and break that in my life. God, let it start with me. Let it start with me. We give this to you, God. In your name we pray. With no one looking around for just a moment, just a time of privacy and reflection, maybe you're here today and you would simply say, Pastor Kyle, I have never responded to the message of Jesus. I've never turned to him as my Savior and forgiven me and all of that. Listen, I'm not asking you if you go to confirmation and have finished that or have been baptized, okay, or go to church. Like, this is, it's a heart thing between you and God. Have you ever truly committed your life to God, committed your life to Jesus? And if you're here today and you would say, Pastor Kyle, I've never done that and I want to do that today. Or if you're watching online and that's you, I want you to lift up your hand. I want you to lift up your hand right now. I want to pray for you. Anyone, if you're doing this online, you can respond as well. Click on a little link there that says something. Respond, raise a hand, whatever it is. If that's you, just show me a hand. I just want to pray. I want to pray for you today. Church, can we say a prayer together kind of just as we close to help those that are responding today, even for the first time? Let's just pray this. Pray, Father God, I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Forgive me of my sins and change my life. In your name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, can we celebrate that together? God, we thank you. And let me just speak this over you as we're done. May you experience God no matter what it takes. May you go to the next level with him. May you learn to trust him more and more, even as you face the most difficult things in your life. And let us be a church that is marked by his glory, that is centered on him in everything that we do. Amen? Amen. 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 Thank you so much for coming today. Prayer tonight at 6:00. You are dismissed.